government budget of all sources and programs that you've identified as being possible contributors to the solution to this problem, how much total federal money is available?
Mr. Chair, I wouldn't dare take a stab at that. I think Tim indicated that awareness is growing at the federal level, and we have heard indications that there will be some federal monies available. But with the change in administration and the budget issues and tax cuts at the federal level, it's too early to tell.
Okay. All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much. Informative, a little bit of a scary presentation, but it's obvious that we've got to have more effective and cohesive policy, and it really revolves around finding the money to get out there and not only do the research for the control, but accomplishing the control of its own.
Thank you.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You. Hillary,
I know you want to speak to this. Come forward, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Hillary Abraham, and I'm the Director of Government Relations for the Nature Conservancy of Oregon. I have some written testimony, which I can submit for the record.
Would you please? Do we need to copy it?
Actually, I did that last week, so
thank
I have
you.
Plenty of copies for folks.
And, Michael, do we have a sign-up sheet on this bill also? Okay, we'll just, when you have a moment.
Thank you. I just want to go on record saying that the Nature Conservancy fully supports the noxious weed strategic plan that ODA has just presented to you, and we support its full implementation for all the reasons that have been previously stated. Noxious weeds are clearly a very serious economic and environmental problem in Oregon, and the sooner we begin to start implementing strategies to address the spread of weeds, the better we'll be able to address them in the future. The three pieces that I really like about the plan, in brief, are its emphasis on prevention and early detection, which I think is really key. And the plan also encourages really giving some dollars to the local county weed boards, which have not been funded for a really long time. And as many of you know, I think it's really important that we empower folks at the local level to begin to really address these issues within their specific counties. So this is a really good first step, today's presentation, and you guys taking the time late in the session to hear the plan. As the gentleman from ODA indicated, there is some federal money that may be available. Lisa Bill has been introduced federally in the Senate side, which is a good first step. The two state requirements to receive money from the feds include an approved plan, which I hope will happen today, and then some matching funds from the state. And if we're unable this legislative session to find general funds, it would be at least nice if we could find maybe some time during the interim to talk about finding funding that is tied to the source of the problem or exploring alternative sources of state funding so that we can fulfill that matching requirement. And that's pretty much all I have to say, unless there's any questions.
Are we, do we have to, and I'm just asking this question maybe of ODA, do we have to approve the plan, or is it, you might come back forward, Dan, for the record.
Dan Hilburn, Oregon Department of Agriculture. House Bill 2118 from the last session directed us to present the plan to the next legislative session.
Oh, I see. So let me ask you this question. Then as part of being able to qualify for federal money, do we need to adopt this plan as a matter of state policy?
If this committee would like to endorse the plan, I'm sure that would be helpful.
Okay. Well, I'll have to find some more committee members to do that, but I'm confident that I can make that happen. Representative Ackerman, any thoughts here? Since it's just sort of you and me right now.
We need more money and more people.
Okay. Well, let me see how I can facilitate that. I will say that it is clear we need to work on this issue some more. And it is clear that because of the increase in global trade and global travel, that this is going to be an ongoing problem and probably an increasing problem. And in agriculture, natural resources, not just agriculture, but natural resources, we face a great many challenges. And this is only one of those that is contributing to that that workload. So I am going to, and I wish the deputy director was here, but since he isn't, you will suffice. I am going to, as committee chair, direct ODA to facilitate a work group of which I will speak to the speaker in regards to formalizing this. Direct ODA to come together at the request of whoever chairs the interim committee on agriculture to join together and call upon other state agencies, economic development, tourism, Division of State Lands, forestry, anyone else who has a very real interest in making sure that we maintain effective weed control, and groups such as yours, Hillary, that obviously have an important interest. We're going to convene a work group, and we're going to, an ODA, I'm going to direct ODA to facilitate that. We want to bring all the players to the table, and we want to talk about and come up with some strategy as how in the next legislative session we can put together a formal direction in terms of finding that money that, and it may involve issues such as looking at fees that are tied directly to the sources of this problem. And I think that's going to bear a lot of scrutiny, a lot of time to work on that. And so we're going to go in that direction. And so I'm serving you notice right now that that's going to be the chair's intention, and we'll get that formalized with the speaker as soon as possible. So thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Glenn Stonebrink, Oregon Cattlemen's. Come forward, sir.
May I ask permission, Mr. Chair, for my partner from Farm Bureau?
Farm Bureau would love to have Farm Bureau up here, too. I was hoping someone would show up. And it appears we have the definitive word from Farm Bureau.
Well that Mike Vaudrey that invited me up to get the definitive word from
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Definitive word from both organizations. Yes.
For the record, my name is Glenn Stonebrink with the Oregon Cattlemen Association. I do not have a written statement, but I would like to just talk about that issue for a moment because I didn't catch the first part of the program. I was involved last session with 2118 to get something started. Ran into some roadblocks and turned into something different than intended. But when we talk about noxious weeds, we have to know how to identify them so we know what is a noxious weed. There's quite a process with even putting them on a noxious weed list. There is a lot of federally owned land in this state, 52-53%, over half of the state still is owned and managed by the federal government. And then we have to look at the different issues of how, after we could identify them, how do we eradicate them or control them? And the first thing we found in working with 2118 last session, even within my own association, because we have members from a lot of different counties from around the state, we did not have a consensus on, hey, this is exactly what we should do. The reason for that, of course, is because the resources are different within each county.
Sure.
Some counties have a pretty good working weed board, and they don't want the state coming in and messing things up, so to speak. They wouldn't mind having a little more money because in most rural counties, in fact, probably most all counties, whether they're rural or not, resources are always short and getting shorter. So they'd like to have something to help them in that fashion. Of course, some counties virtually have no type of weed control whatsoever. So for the farmer or rancher who's doing a good job of keeping the weeds off of their property, but their neighbor just pardon my French, but doesn't give a damn. Pretty soon those weeds are over on their property, and they don't know what to do other than trying to take them to court, and it runs into a real hassle. So first thing you do is look to government to solve the problem. And so even with our own, within the different people from our different counties within the state, there's a difference of opinion what we should have happen. And that's what, I mean, if I could, I would put individuals from each of those counties into a hotel room and said, you will not get out of here until you come to a consensus on what we should do and how we're going to do it, so that as a lobbyist, I can come to the legislature and say, here's a reasonable solution. I can't do that at this point in time. But I guess at least identifying that, realizing that that is part of the problem, is a step forward. And when we look at weeds that get onto the federal lands, of course, if they're on the federal lands, eventually they'll be on the private lands. And there's a difference between how you can control them or eradicate them on federal lands than the way you do on private lands. In many cases, you can't use the same herbicide, pesticide, on the federal lands that you do on the private lands. Some of our people have kiddingly saying we need some black helicopters so we can go in at night and do what really needs to be done, because there is not a solution, and it's an ever-growing problem. I have failed at, and I'll admit, a feeble attempt on my part, and for that I apologize, because I think it was a reasonable idea, but to put forth to Congress a pilot project, to start funding at a rather small scale about 10 vocational agriculture projects, FFA, if you will, in some rural schools that have a considerable amount of federally owned land, to address part of this problem, so that they could actually take this money and use it to either hire additional help or to help pay the vocational agriculture instruction and to get training, so they could train their students who would like to be a part of a solution in their community, in their county, in their school district. First of all, how to identify weeds, whether it's on private lands or federal land. Secondly, get involved into an eradication process, which might include hand spot-by-spot application, if that's what the law required, or in sometimes just hand eradication where you can't use any chemicals whatsoever. It sounds like such a good idea that once the different vocational ag instructors around the state found out about it, they said, why didn't you choose my school? Right? Why that one, that one, and that one? And so it really would be a way for taking available resources of people who are out there, and their parents usually have a big stake in this, that you could use that manpower to become part of the solution. That's not going to be a fix-all by any means. But right now, it seems like we walk around, we wring our hand, we throw our hands in the air, and can't find solutions. I don't have the silver bullet to fix-all, but I think it has been pointed out in previous years as well as this year, this is a very serious issue, and it's growing. It's not going away just simply because we can't find a solution to it.
Very good. Thank you.
Pete, for the record.
For the record, Pete Test, Associate Director of Oregon Farm Bureau Federation, and Chair Krupp, and member of the committee.
Thank you. The subcommittee.
The subcommittee. I appreciate this opportunity to just, probably not as briefly as you'd like, but at least briefly talk about this, even though I have no prepared comments. It's something that I've dealt with my whole career as a county agent working for agriculture. Weeds has never gone away from my plate of things to do, and they probably never will. In fact, many people have said it's the scourge or the most important natural resource problem that we're going to face in the next century is noxious weeds. They are the end of our environment as we know it if we do not get a handle on some of them, and it will affect us economically beyond anyone's real belief if we don't get a handle on this problem. I did research while I was a county agent in Grant County, and was really surprised that even the small counties in eastern Oregon suffered $1 million and will suffer millions of dollars of loss economically because of noxious weeds invasion. And that's everything from production for agriculture and commodities to recreational and wildlife losses, to losses in taxes because the land values are nothing. There was one farm or ranch, I believe it was in south Western Oregon, somewhere Klamath or Lake County. Basically, the landowner left because the weeds had taken it over. He could not afford to fix it, and the value was nothing. He just walked away. That's what weeds and the weed problem will do to this state and all of the rest of the western states. The problem is we can't get our arms around the problem. Unlike many things that we face, our solution is to throw a whole bunch of money at something and expect it'll get fixed. The reality of weeds is you have a very small window to really eradicate when they first invade. And from then on, you've got to learn how to manage them for the future and forever. And that's the issue that's hard for many people to face, that it's never done. The best you can do is pull them into control and make them a part of that community now in a way that they can not overtake it, but let the community still survive, because you can't get rid of them once they've got there. There's a lot of problems we've faced there, and that which makes the planting even faster. One time, we did just throw chemicals at weeds. Some of us knew better. Some of us didn't know what to do beyond that. But now the whole weed problem is not just throw the chemicals, but you've got to get on top of them with that so you can put in appropriate vegetation to appropriate management to get them under control in a natural method. You can't afford to use the chemicals, and it's not good to use them as the one tool. Of course, that did harm us when we did that, because many people decided to take that tool away. Well, that's an issue that we have to fight now with the federal government, because they're losing control of their weeds because the reaction of the public with the chemicals did take their ability to use that as a main tool in the toolbox away from them, hurting our state programs that still are able to use them where they're needed. And that's an issue that we're going to have to work out. It will take time, and it will take the state, and I think it will take a program like the one we're talking about in the state's effort to get to that point, because we're going to have to bring people fighting back to the chair to realize that this is an overall management problem, and every tool we have we need to continue it. This idea and what the Department of Ag has put together in the way of this plan over the last 2 years, I know they worked hard on it, and they've contacted me and had me read it, and just like everyone else, there was a lot of things to do, and we played as close attention as we could, and we kind of let it ride when we got to the session. But now I find there is some effort to maybe find some federal money to help. We do have to get a program on the ground and moving, because we're just working at all different ends and not getting anywhere, and this might be the best way to get there. I might add that one of the issues that we're going to really see about weeds is going to happen right down in Klamath County. At the present time, these people are not allowed to, they don't even have enough water to put the cover crops in they need, which means the weeds really invade disturbed soil. If there's not something living there, it's an easy opening point for them to get there. With the dry fields, the no water, if they even get a little bit of water, the weed problem in Klamath County is going to expand exponentially this summer. And there's nobody with any money or any ability to do anything about it. It's going to expand from the refuge, where the weeds are already a problem and haven't been able to take care of, out to the refuge land, to private land. And the reality is, many of us are saying, how are we going to solve that problem for Klamath? Because they're going to be stuck with a massive problem trying to get their crops in place if we get there. And I am actually, somebody brought some ideas that we ought to start looking at some way to provide some help to those people down there to try and control the weeds this summer, so they're not in the wreck next spring and having to do it. And it would give them some of those people aren't going to have a lot to do with no water, and that would give them something that they may be able to do over the summer that would be a benefit to their land and the land surrounding it. Those are the kind of things I think a program like this could lead to. So that's probably longer than I should have said for somebody that got here too late also, but we do need any direction we can and any help we can get on this problem. The state has made a good start at trying to get a plan. I think we ought to recognize it and give it the benefits so we might use it to boost our ability to find funding to start really getting on the ground with this. Thank you.
What is, Pete, what's the biggest issue that you see confronting the Farm Bureau in terms of invasive weed species? What's the one that concerns you the most?
Problem. Chair Krupp, I'm not sure that I can really answer that. We're really concerned about one weed that's not really noxious, with juniper and the invasion there. But I think the one that's going to cost us in the end are three annuals. that we are having trouble getting a handle on. That's going to cost us in our rangeland watersheds and soils. That'll be the combination of Bromus Tech, cheatgrass, to Medusa Head rye, to Yellow Star Thistle that's taking places in all the ranges, particularly in southern Oregon, starting to move into others. Because these are annuals and biennials. They have large seed sources. They're in shallow, hard-to-manage soils. They invade regularly and are hard to control. And I think down the road, that combination of those three are going to be a major impact on a lot of the areas in the state. It already makes a lot of the rangeland and natural resources in Jackson, Josephine County unusable because of the massive invasion of Yellow Star and the others moving into that country. And it's a tough weed. They're tough weeds, and they're not easily controlled. It's constant being annuals. They have large seed sources. They're viable for a long time, and they just spread like wildfire. And those are three that I think in the long run we're going to see some real problems with. There's are many others, and anybody that just lays out one weed is crazy to say that's the only one. But I think we're going to see that one as a problem down the road that we're going to face.
I was just noting that the chair had asked Pete Testig to start talking about weeds, and I think we got the short version there. I did have a question that, you know, obviously you guys know the problem of weeds more than I do. Anybody willing to raise taxes to have more money to fight weeds?
I think Chair Krupka and Representative again, I think it's an interesting question because in places where the weeds have destroyed the base, there's no tax money out there to raise to destroy the weeds. So we come down to the same issue that I mentioned sometime in the past talking to Juniper with a landowner that's got $25 an acre land, and he's got a $150 process to take control of it and no money to do it for either one, but he loses the whole value of his land. The chances that down the road something like taxes might be necessary to save taxes in the future, or our governments are going to be in real trouble, particularly in eastern Oregon and the drier climates of the state where the weeds really have an advantage over a lot of the native species. For me to say absolutely, and there was times when I was a county agent I'd raised anything to find enough money to try and stop an invasion of a particular weed that I know we could eradicate, but we didn't have a red cent to do it with. So I think that plus a lot of other areas we're going to have to look at to do that. But I think one of the ideas was the process it brings in. Roads, key source of invasion. But that's just one of the many things. We've got a lot of invasion elsewhere. I guess I did answer your question, but yeah, taxes may be one of the things we'll have to look at someday because we won't be able to have taxes if we don't do something about them. But I think with the help of the federal government and them really taking care of their own land, we have an opportunity to get a handle on some of the private land and the state lands in this state when you have 60% federal government and really no controls.
Could I take a shot at just,
sure.
Just a little bit? One of the things when we talk about taxes, and my opening remark talked about that most of our rural counties are hurting big time right now, and their only real source for revenue is property tax. Well, what's happening with our property tax? As we devalue those things that used to have a lot more value, the property tax source is smaller. And I see counties that are running their county government like 4 days a week, 3 days a week, cutting back on the nursing home. I mean, a lot of things are happening where they're cutting to bare bones right now, and that's why they don't have a weed control district to start with. So that tax source is, if things were different economically out there, that tax source could work. The other thing is that the reason that a lot of our rural counties have the economy has gone down is we look at things like the federal government actions on spotted owl. And when the economy of those counties that were affected by spotted owl, the tax base is dropped, then where do you come up with the new taxes? And so I look to the federal government because of their actions have caused this. There's an ever-growing movement to find ways to get rid of the cattle industry on public lands. And the next one you'll see that will be comparable to the spotted owl, unless we can get our hands around it, is the sage grouse, which could eliminate cattle grazing on those federal lands. So if we say, okay, why do we have the problem? And as Pete and I both talked about the actual weed problem itself on that 52% of the state that's owned by the federal government, the real problem is, the big majority of it is the federal government in one way or another, and that's why I think we need to exert in some fashion or another that, hey, you know, this, the boundary of this state of Oregon is Oregon. And we need to either be able to have the authority to control Oregon, or you provide us the funds so we can. Because we're right now, we're always subservient, we think we are, we think we have to be, to the federal government on all things. And that's not true. The states' rights issue comes up, but usually that's looked at as radical, and we can't talk about that in this House. I think we should talk about it in this House, more and more so, to the point that we exert those things that we need. I think we need to look to the federal government. I think we need to be tough with the federal government, lay it on the line and say, you know, either you're going to do it or we're going to do it, and get tough. We can ask for funds, but so far it hasn't gotten us very far.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Anyone else here would like to say something about noxious weeds? If not, I want to thank you all. We're going to close a public hearing on noxious weeds, and we're going to stand at recess until we get a quorum and amendments back. So we are recessed for the moment.